Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Samuel McPeak, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Good morning, Pastor McPeak. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. A little tongue-tied this morning, but good to have you with us. Tell us about Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Well, Faith Lutheran Church is a small Lutheran parish here in Lafayette. Our average worship attendance is about 65. Lafayette is also known as the hub city. It's the heart and center of Cajun country, and so the Cajun culture and influence is all around us. Lafayette is known for its festivals and for many things. One thing notable is the music festival that happens every March, and of course there's Mardi Gras, which if you've never experienced Mardi Gras family style, you have to come to Lafayette.
Very good. And you're there delivering God's good gifts, you and the saints at Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, celebrating God's good gifts there, and we're grateful for that. And this morning we get to study Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Any context you'd like us to understand before we dig into Matthew 13 this morning?
Yes, in my adult class we've been going through Matthew's gospel this past year, and a couple of the things that I'd like to point out about Matthew's gospel in particular, and that's, first of all, that beginning with the very genealogy of Christ, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the covenant with Abraham and the covenant with David. That's the genealogy itself. A second thing is a concept of righteousness that Jesus talks about, in this idea of a righteousness that goes beyond the obedience to the law. It goes into the idea of God's grace and God's mercy that he shows for all people. And then the third thing I think that comes out, especially in our parable today, is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which is among us now and with us now.
All righty, we're in Matthew chapter 13 today, verses 1 through 23. We're studying with Pastor McPeak from Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. If you have questions or comments about the text today, give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850 is the number here in St. Louis, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into Matthew chapter 13 today. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. All right, so here we have the parable of the sower, as it is known. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Well, the sea might be a nice place to sit. Where are we again? What's the location?
He's on across from Nazareth. He's in Galilee, I believe. What I like to point out in talking about this, because we oftentimes overlook it, and that is the transitions that take place. He's here, been proclaiming the gospel. And now he's going to be crossing back over to Nazareth. But that marks a transition. And I think one of the things that's important is the transition that it marks coming from, which has just occurred, and that's that some people have approached Jesus and they've said, look, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are here. And Jesus said, who is my mother, my brothers, and my sisters? And he points to his disciples and he says, these are my mother, brothers, and sisters. And then at the end of Matthew 13, or toward the end of Matthew 13, we get the other transition. He's back in Nazareth, and when he is speaking to the people of Nazareth, they say, wait a minute, we know this person. This is that Jesus fellow. His mother's name, her name's Mary. And yeah, his dad was a carpenter, wasn't he? And aren't these his brothers and sisters? And they take offense at what Jesus has to say, and he's not able to do anything there. And so the parables really are in between these ideas of community, of the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus is going to be talking about in these parables.
And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. So they gather around him, they crowd around him, and he begins to speak, he begins to tell them parables. A sower went out to sow. This is an agrarian type. Well, in many of his parables are agrarian in nature, aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Should we start talking about these seeds, or do we need to wait until we get further into the text?
Can we get further into the text? Because I think when Jesus gives his explanation, it really unfolds the meaning here. But one thing I would like to point out as we start, and notice this, that as it appears time and time again, is that word hear, or that word listen, that comes up over and over in the parable itself. And I'd like to comment further on that as we get a little bit further in the text, if I may.
Sure. So, anything else about the text up through this point? Anything else that we need to know before we go on to talking more about the seeds?
Well, I think one of the other things that to keep in mind about the parables of the kingdom is they emphasize three things. Number one is that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is a universal kingdom. It's not limited. And so we see that here in the parable. Some seed falls here, some seed falls there, some falls along the path, other along the rocky soil, some in thorns, and some in good soil. So it's an idea of this, of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom just being sown, being spread out there into the world itself, out into the field itself. The second thing that comes up more in the explanation of the creed, or I'm sorry, that's the explanation of the creed, of the parable, I'm tongue-tied this morning too, is the idea of mystery. That Jesus is explaining what is hidden from the eyes or the ears of so many among his hearers, among his listeners. And the third thing is the kingdom of heaven is here, and that is again brought out here in the parables more so in the other parables as well as this one.
The kingdom of heaven, and that's what the parables are always about. It seems the kingdom of heaven is like, or is what parables are about usually, right?
Generally, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. All right, shall we get into the explanation and the purpose of the parables as we see in verses 10 and following?
Yes.
Then the disciples came and asked him, or and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.'" All right, let's go back to verse 10. So the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Are they familiar with parables prior to this?
Well, parables are a part. part of the instruction of a teacher to his students. And so this idea of a parable, which means to cast alongside of, is a teaching mechanism. And the parables are designed to make you think, to make you contemplate what's going on, to come at a greater understanding of what's transpiring in the text. So yes, they would be familiar with parables, and of course, as you pointed out earlier, you know, he uses examples from their everyday life, things that they would be familiar with, things they would know about. At the same time, it's important to point out that the parables are not meant to be realistic stories. They are meant to be illustrations, and so sometimes in the parables you get things that really, especially in our modern context, don't make much sense, or the dots don't connect very well. And there is that element here that keeps us involved in the parable and keeps us understanding the parable. To keep us thinking about or contemplating what's going on in the parable itself.
And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." This is not Gnosticism, is it?
No. and it's interesting that the word mysteries here, and it is the word mystery, it's not in the singular case, it's in the plural case. And in Jesus' day, there were those who went around, mystery cults who had, who claimed to have the answer, knew the mystery to the universe or something like that. But here it's in the plural, and it really ties better into the Old Testament concept and understanding of mystery as understanding what God is up to, what God is doing in the ultimate purposes of God in his creation. I think Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 really helps us understand this passage a little better. When he talks about grace and he talks about salvation, this mystery which has been made known to us since the foundations of the world, and this is the mystery of the cross. This is the mystery of God's salvation, of who he is and what he has come to do in his son, Jesus Christ.
For to the one who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.
Now, that's a little bit confusing and a little bit stumping, I guess, there a little bit, just exactly what's going on with that. And I think here the idea, again, is a teacher to his disciples in that those who... how's the passage read again? Those who had, even more will be given, and even from some who had, even will be taken away. This idea of gaining this idea of insight or understanding, a word that I want to talk about a little bit later here because it comes up frequently in the passage. This is an idea of learning, of receiving the message that. Sometimes when people hear my sermons, they walk in with thinking, well, they knew something, but when they leave church, I really have made them confused. here the idea is this idea of going beyond what they now understand and perceive, and so that that idea will continue to grow in them.
This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.
Yes, I'm going to go back up to verse 9 just a second.
Sure.
Because it ties into this, I think, very well. And that I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. In verse 9, Jesus says, "Let them who have ears hear," is the most popular translation. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, "Let them who hear listen." In teaching communications at the university, one of the things we talk about when we talk about listening is there's a difference between hearing and listening. And hearing is just the receiving of sound through your senses, whereas listening is attending to that message. Inwardly digesting the message. That's a good Lutheran cliche that we like to use. But that idea of taking the message in. One of the things, this would be something that I could do later on when I had nothing better to do, is look at the idea of the senses that Jesus uses here. Listening or hearing, they do not hear. Seeing, they do not see. In that, the message is being received through the senses, but the message is not being inwardly taken. There's something blocking that message from achieving its purpose in them. And I think that's part of it. And he goes back to the Isaiah text. And Jesus' audience here, of course, these are not strangers to, the Hebrew history are not strangers to the covenants of Moses and Abraham and David. These are people who are well-versed in the Torah or have an understanding of the Torah. And so this idea is that they've heard these things, but they've not really ever contemplated them. They've not really ever thought about them, given them further understanding and contemplation.
This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. So there are some who will hear but never understand, see and never perceive, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. How are their eyes or our eyes and ears different?
I don't think their eyes and their ears are any different than ours. I think we still suffer from the same physical impairments, or excuse me, spiritual impairments, in that we try, let me back that up a little bit. One of the things I think here is, going back to my illustration about the senses, is we think that this idea of hearing and perceiving is merely a physical or mental activity on our part. And indeed, it's not. I think where this part of the parable of the story comes and unfolds a little bit better for me, at least, is when Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And when Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God," Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." So the seeing is a physical activity, but the understanding is disclosed to us by our Father in heaven, which I really like Luther's explanation to the third article when he begins, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, has enlightened me with his gifts, has sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. This is coming from God to us. And speaking to our hearts and our minds.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading. We're in Matthew chapter 13 today, and we're studying with Pastor Samuel McPeak from Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up around verse 18. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Paul McCain about the papacy. We'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Abraham rescuing Lot. And we'll continue our series on the confessional documents of Calvinism, talking with Pastor Jordan Cooper about the 1689 London Baptist Confession.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, October 15th. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Samuel McPeak from Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. We're in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Pastor, any other comments about the previous text up through verse 17 before we go on to verse 18?
Not really, other than, you know, Jesus teaches in parables because he's a good teacher. He's a good communicator. That I think stands out in the parables for us.
Very good. Verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So here we have the explanation. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And this is what was sown along the path. Pastor, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to, something that stood out for me as I was studying the text is go back again to verse 19, which you just read. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. It's interesting that Jesus begins the explanation with the parable, with that word, that concept of hearing and understanding. And if you look at the end of the parable, the one who receives it is the one who hears and understands it. Now, I realize my Greek may be a little bit fuzzy or a little bit dusty, but the thing here is that in the first passage, something that struck my attention is that the verb is the word for to come, and the word understanding is a participle. So if, you know, a really bad translation might be something like he does not come of understanding it, and it's also in the present tense. So it's an idea here that this is a continuing situation of understanding. When we get down to the last part of the parable where he says, he who hears and understands, there the word understanding is translated or is a verb, again, present tense verb, in that it's a continuing action. It's ongoing action of understanding. I did a little bit of word study on that word understanding, and one of the things I read is that it's kind of a catch-all word. That is used. But I thought what was interesting is that it means kind of a blending together or a bringing together idea here. And metaphorically, it does mean understanding. So this idea of comprehending, of taking into oneself that idea of understanding and connected again with that hearing or that listening aspect of it.
As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Let's talk about rocky ground.
Yeah, rocky ground. And look at that word again, falls away. That's a very important word here in the text. It's that Greek word that we get the word scandalized from. And Paul uses that in 1 Corinthians when he talks about the scandal of the cross. It's interesting here because when you get to verses 54 through 58 of chapter 13, when Jesus is speaking to the people in Nazareth, we read, but he talks about they took offense at him. It's the same word that's used here. This idea that the message of the cross or the message of the kingdom of heaven here scandalizes them and causes one to fall away. In thinking about that, I don't think it's just, a doctrinal issue here. It's really an issue of the idea that the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven brings about can put me at odds with what other people may think or what other people may consider that I should be doing. We have so many examples of that in our society, and one of the things that I was watching recently, university students decided to do a project, an experiment in which they were videotaping a bullying situation in which a bigger man was beating up a smaller man, and it was interesting to watch the people because some of them would see this pummeling going on and just kind of watch and look and walk away, and others, would just like they didn't know what to do, and some would even ignore that it was going on. Well, I think that's kind of what means here when we're talking about the idea of scandalized or falling away is that we are afraid, and when we enter into that realm of fear, it's very difficult for us to remain faithful to the message of the cross and the message of what God has called us to be as his people.
As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Pastor?
Yeah, that's a good passage for us. Americans, for us in our modern age, and probably for every age, is the, I think many times we find ourselves in a thorny patch that the cares and concerns of this world distract us and detract us from the message of God's love, from the message of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And even from the hearing and studying of God's word itself, we become distracted. And it's so easy to happen. And I think so many times it happens even without us knowing it. Even within, sometimes in our church structures, we become more concerned with, keeping the doors open and the air conditioning turned on, and that we lose sight of the our primary message, the message in word and sacrament. So this is something that catches my attention as I'm thinking about this. I'm not sure people really understand, can see that concept in themselves, but it happens. But I wonder about in situations where you're dealing with, I always call them Art and Alice. They're the grandparents who, brought their children up in the church, but now their children are grown and they no longer attend church, and their children aren't going to Sunday school or aren't being confirmed, and they worry about that. And how do you take this word here in the context of the whole parable and tie it into a word of hope for the arts and Alice's in our parish that see that and are concerned about what's going on in the lives of those whom they love? That's a tough call to make, and that's a very, very, I think, touching part. And one of the things that I think that a lot of us pastors hear from some of our older members, especially, about that disconnection that we oftentimes make between our Christian faith and the rest of our lives.
We don't really have any cares of the world or deceitfulness of riches in our daily lives. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't either. But Best Buy opens up in a little while, and I have to go buy a new iPhone. So can we cut this short, Pastor? Game's on. Oh, by the way, Pastor, the Saints, well, I don't know if they're playing this year or not. the game's on at 12:05. So, Pastor, you need to get us out of church a little bit faster here, Pastor. No, you're absolutely right. That doesn't happen at all.
But I can get a Bible app for that new phone.
That's right. There you go.
Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Yeah, I think one of the things that as we read through this parable, we forget that there are three main characters in this parable. The first is the sower. The second is the soil, and the third is the seed. And we focus so much of our attention, basically because the explanation focuses a lot of attention, on that soil. But it's the sower who sows, and it's the seed that grows. And it's the seed that is growing here in spite of some of the obstacles that may be in our way and some of the obstacles that are in the world. It is that seed that continues to be sown and that seed that continues to grow. Again, going back to the whole idea here, especially in our Lutheran understanding of what the church is, in that centered around a word and sacrament, that God's promise and God's covenant that he makes with us in baptism and that covenant that he makes with us in communion, and those words that we hear in preaching and in proclamation and from the pulpit as well as from the altar, those are words that continue to be planted and continue to be sown into us as God's people so that we may grow in our faith, tying into that whole idea of this parable. Is really, how does it, that word that affects, that word that has its power. And later on in the other parables, we really get into that, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven or the yeast that grows in the midst of these things. And so it's really an idea here of, I think, for the church and for us as God's people to continue to keep that word, that gospel message of who God is and what he's done for us through his son, Jesus Christ, as the central and most important thing as who we are as God's people and how God affects the change and how God brings about the growth in people's lives.
Hmm. Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, is there anything else you'd like for us to know or understand about this text, or anything that you don't want us to assume about this text as we wrap up our study together today?
One of the things, and again, one of the things I think is that we oftentimes look at these texts and we think, well, I've got the answers. I've got this all figured out. This is exactly the way it is. But I think the Holy Spirit has ways of bringing us to new insight and understanding. And so to look at these parables and to understand them is to grow in our faith and to grow in our discipleship as followers of Christ. That's one of the things that stands out for me. And you know, I preached on these parables many times over the years, and each time I understand something different. If you go to the end of Matthew's gospel, in the end of the parables, Jesus asks his disciples, well, do you understand all these things? And they say, yeah, we do. He says, well, it's like a scribe who goes into the treasure and brings out something old and something new. So it's a matter of coming back to this and saying, you know, how is this word, this kingdom of heaven, helping me? Or how is this kingdom of heaven growing in my witness and in my life, to my family and to my friends and to my community and to my parish? I think that's very important in a way of looking at this. That seed is growing, and that seed continues to grow in me and through me as a child of God.
Amen. We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Samuel McPeak from Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Pastor McPeak, thanks for being our guest today, helping us study this text in Matthew chapter 13.
It was my pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints there at Faith Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Witness Wednesday with Pastor Mark Wood. Hope you could join us for that conversation as he talks with Amy Gray from Office of National Mission Youth Ministry today about social media and witness. Stick around for more of his time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.